Well, I want to thank all of you for coming out under questionable circumstances today. I know that, well, thanks for not buying into all the fear stuff, you know. I got to hunker down, and it's a day to be taken carefully, but we can get around, amen? So I want to say that today in this gospel, we have a reminder of our need to be prepared for the great coming of Jesus. Now, when I say be prepared, I'm using the passive voice intentionally. That is to say that it isn't just that I by myself can prepare, but rather the Lord in His love helps me to get ready and sends people to help me. Now, today, the second Sunday of Advent, we usually focus on the ministry of John the Baptist. And John's role in the ancient world back at that time was to get them ready for the first coming of Jesus. So that when Jesus came, there would be a people whose hearts and minds were prepared to recognize Him, to welcome Him, and to follow Him. John did that work. You know, the Lord Jesus Himself said that John had a ministry and an office. Now, it started all the way back in the Old Testament. The Lord said, look, I'm going to come among you, but before I do, I will send you Elijah, and Elijah will prepare you. Now, He didn't necessarily mean that Elijah would come down from heaven, literally, but that there would be somebody in that role of the prophet Elijah who would get people ready. And here's what the Lord said in the very end of the Old Testament. The Lord said this, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I would come to the land and strike it with total destruction. So the Lord, before He came, got a people ready who had their hearts and minds prepared for Him to come. Now, that first coming of Jesus at Christmas, that's fulfilled. Now, we'll celebrate it on December 25th, but for us, that's done. However, we do now look for the Lord to come again in glory. And that, I tell you, is another day to get ready for. And we still need John the Baptist. We need Elijah to come and to get us ready for that day. And so today, those of us who are gathered in this church, we look back to how Jesus did come. And John the Baptist did a beautiful work of getting people ready. In fact, most of the first 12 apostles had, first of all, been evangelized by John the Baptist. That's why when Jesus said, drop your nets and follow me, they were ready to do it, because John had gotten them ready. Most of them had been followers. Andrew, Peter, James, John, all of them had been followers of John the Baptist. So you see, their ability to drop their nets and follow Jesus was because somebody got them ready. Amen? Now, for us, we need the same ministry. We need John the Baptist. We need that Elijah figure before the great day of the Lord shall come in all of His glory. The Lord has got to get us ready for that day. Are you praying with me? The Lord has got to get us ready. So then the question is, who is your John the Baptist? Who is your Elijah? Who is my Elijah? Who is the one that the Lord sends us to get us ready? Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you, the first answer to the question, who is that preparing prophet called John the Baptist for us? For all of us, first of all, it's the church. It is the job of the church to get us ready to go home and meet God, to stand before the judgment seat with confidence. And how does the church do that? By the grace of Jesus, through word, through sacrament, through good example, fellowship, through preaching. All of these are ways that the church gets us ready. Now, for most of us, though, the church can seem like an abstraction. So how do you experience the church? Well, the first way you experience the church, how is the church John the Baptist for you? Probably at a more local level. First of all, me. I'm John the Baptist. Come on, I'm the pastor here, and I am John the Baptist. And you know me. My job is to stand here Sunday after Sunday and say, get ready, he's coming. Get ready, you'll go to him or he'll come to you, but get ready. We preach word, we celebrate sacraments, we shout out the great cry of John the Baptist. You know, there's an old hymn that we don't usually sing here in the parish, but it says, on Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. The hymn goes on to say, so cleansed be every heart from sin, make straight the way for God within. And that is who I am right now. I'm standing on the River Jordan. I said it's right here. Here's the River Jordan, the glassy sea of the floor. Amen? And I'm shouting out, as John the Baptist once did, get ready, get ready. Repent and believe the good news that the Lord can save you and set you free. So again, John the Baptist is the church. More locally, for you, your pastor, I'm John the Baptist. But how about there's some other John the Baptist in your life? Young people, you got parents, you got teachers, you got catechists, you've got a dance ministry leaders, you've got all sorts of folks who are John the Baptist for you, getting you ready. So for all of us, catechists, teachers, parents, pastors, religious sisters, all of these are ways that the church is made present to us, and John the Baptist ministry still continues. But here comes the final thing in terms of this introduction. If it is true, the church is called to be John the Baptist. If you are prepared to accept it, you are John the Baptist for someone else too. Amen? You and I, having been formed in the church by John the Baptist, getting ready for the great coming of Christ, you and I also have to be a great preparing prophet for others. We're to be just like John the Baptist. What rivers do you stand next to in your home, at the dining room table, in the pulpit of your dining room table? You have an obligation to prepare your children, your spouse, brothers and sisters, folks that you know, all of us, John the Baptist. Amen? If that be the case, then I want to suggest to you today that for all of us who both need that ministry of John the Baptist and need to be John the Baptist, I would suggest to you four principles for being John the Baptist for others. In order to be a prophet who prepares God's people, starting with our own self, four basic principles or points are illustrated in this gospel. And the first one is simply that we are called to have poise. Poise. What I mean here is balance. You know, John doesn't just say one thing, he says two things. He says, repent, and the kingdom of God is now available to you. Repent, sometimes it said repent and believe the good news. Sometimes, as this translation says today, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, church, did you hear that second part? That's good news. That says that now the kingdom of heaven is available to you. The doors of heaven are swinging open. Are you praying with me? Or is there too much echo? Can you hear me? Church, that deserved a hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven is, the doors are swinging open for you. They were closed, and the angel with the flaming sword kept folks out. But now, The kingdom of heaven is available. So that's the good news. But notice, John doesn't just say that. He says, repent. The kingdom of God is now available to you. So you see the balance. There is, if you will, the call to repent, and the call to accept the profoundly good news that the kingdom of heaven, the gates of heaven, are swinging open. Now, notice too, there is an order. There's not just a balance, but an order. Repent, and then the kingdom of heaven, the doors are swinging open for you. Now, repent. In other words, brothers and sisters, it's kind of like there's the bad news, and then there's the good news. In that order. Now, look, young people, pay attention to this because it's worth memorizing. If you don't get the bad news, the good news is no news. If you don't understand the bad news, the good news, no news. Somewhere along the line, think of a medical example. What if the doctor says to you, I got some news for you. You got it bad, and that ain't good. You got it bad, and that ain't good. That's the bad news. Ah, but here comes the good news. There is a doctor in the house. There is a cure at hand. Now, if you all you hear is, there's a doctor in the house, you say, well, that's nice. I don't need a doctor. I'm fine. In other words, that's no news. So first you got to grab hold of, you got it bad, and that ain't good. Are you praying with me, church? So that's why John starts out by saying, repent. You are dead in your sins. You are going in the wrong direction. Your life is messed up. You need to come to grips with that. You need to understand this bad news. So now, the good news is real news, is joyful news. Otherwise, if you don't get the bad news, the good news is no news. So you notice again, there's a poise that every prophet has to have. That is to say, we announce the bad news, but we also announce the good news. And we show that the way to get to the good news is to accept the bad news, admit it. So again, you got it bad, and that ain't good. Go ahead, young folks, help me out now. You got it bad, and that ain't good. Just say it. But hallelujah, there is a doctor in the house. Okay, well, they sort of said it. Repent and believe this good news. Repent. The kingdom of God is now available to you. And how do you get there? By repentance. One of the great sadnesses and one of the great errors of the modern age from pastors and priests like me have been too many of us preach, if you will, mercy without repentance. We preach reward without repentance. Mercy is a beautiful thing, but it is accessed through repentance. The door to mercy, the door to the reward of the kingdom is through repentance. And so John, standing at the side of the River Jordan, shouting out, repent! The kingdom of God is now available to you. So come to me, repent of your sin, accept that you need help. But now, this joyful news, this help is now available to you. So you see the poise, the balance. Now, for all of us who would be prophets, maybe in previous eras, we got the balance wrong by just being so negative and down in repentance and preaching only sin and only how dark and dour it was, and maybe that was that extreme. But I'm convinced that in the modern age, we have the other extreme, where there's just all this kind of, God loves you, everything's fine, everything's great, you're nice, carry on, thank you, hallelujah, let's all have a big group hug. And we don't preach the repentance piece as well as we should. So we need both. We need the balance. You know, John wasn't messing around, was he? You know, John was pretty tough on the repent part. He wasn't sugarcoating anything. He was saying, you know, he was talking about that we need to repent or else. He spoke of a coming day of wrath. and of judgment for those who did not repent. He spoke of the axe being laid to the root of the tree. He spoke of an unquenchable fire. John said, you know, if you don't want to do the repent part, I don't want to talk about the other part, you know? And likewise, there were some who came out that day and they weren't really willing to repent, and he called them a brood of vipers. Now, John was willing to do this tough work of repentance so that he could also talk about the magnificence of salvation, that there is someone coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and set you on fire with love. Oh, he's coming. Get ready. Repent. John did both, and we got to do both. You know, parents, leaders, teachers, it's sometimes difficult for us to do that part. People don't like to hear bad news. But remember, the good news won't make much difference if they don't grab hold of the bad news. Now, young people, I hope that you understand that there are just times where your parents have to say to you, if you go on like that, it's going to be trouble. You need that. You need to understand. Things get very bad very quickly if we make bad decisions. But then they also stand and say, I'm here to help you make the right choice. And for all of us, see, I know talking about sin is controversial today. I know folks don't like to hear that, but deep down, we all know we need God's saving help. So again, don't fail to do the repentance piece. It's very important, because if you don't grab hold and understand the bad news, the good news is no news. Maybe that's one of the reasons why our churches have become so empty. Who goes to the doctor unless they know they're sick? Well, this is a hospital we're running for sinners. We need to, first of all, understand what we need. We need the Lord. And when we don't effectively preach that, too many people just say, well, church is irrelevant. Why should I bother? I mean, well, would you go to the hospital if you didn't have some reason to go? Would you go to the doctor's office? I just want to go to the doctor's office because I like going to the doctor's office. It's just so nice to sit in the waiting room and read old, outdated magazines and then have the doctor poke me and put, no. I mean, I go to the doctor because I said, man, I need help. See, I got to grab hold of that, and then I go. And so that's why the poise of a prophet is so important. So the first thing we notice, if you're going to be a preparing prophet, you got to be willing to do some tough work in your own life and in the lives of others to talk frankly about sin, about its ravages, about the struggles that we have that are shipwrecking a lot of lives. There's a lot of suffering that comes because of sin. In fact, I'll just tell you this, 80% of the suffering in this world is directly due to human sinfulness. Just directly due. All kinds of pride and bigotry and hatred and racism and sexual excesses and greed and lust and drunkenness. So much grief, so much pain. We gotta talk about that stuff. We got it bad and that ain't good. But hallelujah, Jesus, there is a doctor in the house. And now I come to him, and he begins to go to work. Now, the next thing I want you to notice is not just the poise that a prophet needs, but I also want you to notice that there is, if you will, the product that every prophet wants to bring about. See, one of the dangers when you try to become a prophet is that you might fall into the trap of thinking, I've got to win an argument, or I've got to... No, what your role is, and my role, if we're going to be a prophet, is to bring people to salvation, to bring them to Jesus. It says here in the text that John, who was doing this hard work of shouting out, repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand, the point was people were coming out in great numbers, repenting of their sins and getting baptized. Oh, church, do you understand? The goal is to bring people to life saving repentance and to Jesus, who can begin to go to work and to save them. So again, our work as a prophet isn't just to go out and shout and get angry and tell people and get in their face and argue with them and get into an argument and try to win the argument. Our job is to bring people to life-changing, transformative repentance and baptism. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them to the church, to the sacraments, to His Word, so that the Lord can go to work in their life. Church, are you praying with me? I want you to know, I'm a witness. Those who have brought me to Jesus saved my life. My life has been saved by Jesus Christ. And I am grateful to Him, and I am grateful for the men and the women in my life who were a John the Baptist, who brought me to Jesus so that He could snatch me out of the water and save me. And today I'm a witness before you that the prayers, the sacraments, His Word, all the graces that He's working in my life are changing my life, are transforming me, are bringing me alive, are putting sins to death, are bringing virtues alive, and more I'm ready. I say, Lord Jesus, You're getting me ready for the great day of judgment. Thank You, Jesus. I'm so grateful. So all the prophets in my life, and if you're going to be a prophet, have this one goal in mind, to bring us to the Lord Jesus through repentance so that we can be saved. So we see the poise of the prophet and the desired product of the prophet, which is life-changing salvation that is available through Jesus Christ if we will repent. You see the vision? We're not just getting people to repent for repentance' sake, we're getting them to repent so that the kingdom of God breaks open in their life and they're changed by Jesus. Amen? So always make sure that our motives are clear. We want people to be saved. That's why we're prophets. We love God's people. We want everyone to find their way more deeply to Jesus. And then, not only is there the poise of the prophet and the product of the prophet, but there is also the purity of the prophet. Did you notice that among those who came out to see John were some big cheeses? You know, the leaders, the powerful ones. So we see that among them were the great religious leaders. Now listen, these folks could give John a lot of blessings, or they could give him a lot of curses. They could make life difficult for John, or they could open up doors for John. You know, we all deal in life with some powerful people who can either give us a lot of problems, or they can give us a lot of access. Amen? But the question for you and for me is, will we remain pure in the message? You notice John didn't change his message to the powerful people that came out. Ooh, I better tiptoe around it. There's a powerful person. They might be able to do me some harm, or hey, they could grease my palms and open up some doors for me. Does John change his message? Not a bit. He says, you got to repent too. Wait a minute, we're religious leaders. We pray every day. We wear phylacteries. We put on prayer shawls. We bow like this when we pray. We go to the temple. We pay our tithes. You better repent. But look at us. We're holy. We're righteous. You better repent. Otherwise, the kingdom of God. But we've gone through all these motions. He says, you better repent. Church, I hope that a lot of you, because you're going to church, are experiencing a lot of sins going away. But you know what? The Bible says that the just man, the just woman, sins 7 times a day. We all fall short of the glory of God. There is no one in this church. If Mother Teresa were sitting in the front row, I'd still say repent. Because even she would be the first to say amen. Because again, God is very holy. And whatever human holiness we've attained to, at the end of the day, the call continues to remain. Repent. Continue to get right with God. Deepen your relationship. Holiness is not just checking off a few boxes. Holiness is a complete transformation of the human heart and mind, soul, will, and body. And so it is that John doesn't change his message because there's powerful folks. John doesn't change his message because there's poor folks. John had the same message for everybody. Are you praying with me? So again, we need to stay very consistent. We should not be a respecter of persons, but one who respects God. And I will give God's message to anyone who will listen. I will give God's message even if they can hurt me. I will still give God's message. Or if they can bless me and they may not like what I hear, I'm still going to give God's message. I'm not going to change. I'm going to stay consistent. So a purity. You know, pray for it, brothers. You know, one of our biggest struggles as human beings is this thing we call human respect. Now, one thing is we should be respectful to everybody, yes. But human respect, the danger of it is that we respect and fear human beings more than we respect and fear God. That's the sin of human respect, that I'm more worried about what you think of me than what God thinks, that I'm more worried about what you can do to me than I am about what God can do to me. And that is a very great danger. And it stamps out prophecy. It stamps out the preaching of the gospel because we're too afraid. The gospel is currently out of season in our culture. Will you still preach it? Yes. St. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you preach this gospel whether it's in season or out of season. Preach it anyway. He says, the days are coming, Timothy, when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. They will surround themselves with teachers who will tickle their ears. Timothy, preach the gospel anyway. Refute error. Call people to repentance. Announce Jesus. The whole world goes mad. Keep announcing Jesus. Amen? This is the purity of the prophet, and it is hard work because all of us struggle with fear. We don't want to offend people. It is not, I want to go around and offend somebody today. Here I go. If that's how you are a sociopath. That is not a prophet. A prophet doesn't say, I want to go out and offend people. But a prophet loves God's people but speaks the truth, and is willing to do that even if it causes some ruffled feathers. Why? Because a prophet loves God's people and wants them to be saved, not lost. Are you praying with me? The final thing, and I've already introduced it, the fourth point, I've already talked about it, so I want to just end on it as quickly as I can. You know me and the word quickly don't get along. But remember, there's a poise that we have to have as prophets. There is a product, namely, salvation. We are after the salvation of every man, woman, and child we know. That's our product. That's what we're after. So the poise, the product, the purity. We're going to preach the word no matter the cost. There's going to be a purity. We will speak the truth to everyone equally. And then the final thing is simply the person of a preparing prophet. John, they're all out there. They say, man, John, you're a great guy, man. You're holy. You're walking around. You're eating locusts and wild honey. Would you all want to eat locusts? That's a bug. You know what? Would you like to eat bugs? One kid said, yeah. But John, you're a holy guy. You preach well. You're out here. Folks is coming from all over to hear you. And man, John, you got it going on. John, man, it's all about John. Uh-uh. John said, uh-uh. Not about me. There's somebody coming after me. He's mightier than I. I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, he's going to set you on fire with God's love. He's going to bring you right into the kingdom. I'm just announcing that the kingdom's available. He's going to bring you in. It's about him that I'm preaching. It's not about John. It's about Jesus. And so at the end of the day, if you're going to be a good prophet, it's not about you. It's not about winning an argument. It's not about popularity. It's not about any of that. It is simply this. Jesus. 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 And so again, we're all called to, first of all, experience the ministry of John the Baptist in our life. In the biggest sense, that's the church. In a more constricted sense, it's your pastor. It's holy men and women that you've come to know. It's church leaders, it's your mother, your father, it's any number of folks. Hallelujah. Would you just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the prophets who've been in my life, who've called me to repent and come to your kingdom. But then again, now I need to walk in their example. I got to be a prophet to somebody else. Oh, church, if you're going to be a good prophet, make sure you have poise and balance. make sure you got the product clearly in mind. You're after everybody's salvation. Make sure that you have a purity about you, where it's about the message, not about you being safe, not about you being ingratiated with people of power or safe from their power. It's about Jesus. It's about the message. And again, make sure it is focused on the person of Jesus. Church on Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry, announcing that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. So let every heart be cleansed of sin and make straight the way for God within. John is a preparing prophet. We need prophets to prepare us, and we need to be prophets who will prepare others. Because I tell you this, church, soon, very soon, we're going to see the King. And either he'll come to us or we'll go to him. But I said soon. You said, not for me. I'm just a young kid. I got a long way to go. No, I said soon. Soon. 80 years before you know it, snap your fingers and they're over. I can't promise you the next beat of your heart. You don't know. It's just, all I know is soon, soon, and very soon, we're going to see him. Thank you, Lord, for preparing prophets who helped me to get ready. And just help me to help others by your grace to get ready. Amen.